This morning I want to share something with you from my heart, and I want to speak on something that I have not spoken for ages. And Apostle Paul was so gripped by the gospel, he called it the glorious gospel. Does anyone know where it's written the gospel is glorious? It's in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 11. He says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God. For Apostle Paul, the gospel was not a doctrine, but he was gripped by Jesus. And that's what I want to share with you this morning, brothers and sisters. And I want to really highlight the glory of the gospel. You know, the meaning of the word gospel is so exhaustive. And it's good for us to get an understanding of the gospel. So I want to take you quickly through many scriptures this morning, starting with Mark chapter 1, verse 1. So I also want to encourage all those who are getting baptized next week to note down some of these references and meditate on them during the week. Okay. The gospel is not about a man, not about the church, not about a doctrine. The gospel is concerning Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus was the first person who came to this earth with good news. By the way, gospel means good news. In the Old Testament, we don't hear anyone coming with good news. But in the New Testament, we see Jesus coming with the good news for mankind. Oh, I praise the Lord for the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then we read in John chapter 1, verse 29, a lovely verse that all of us should know. John chapter 1, verse 29. Here we see John the Baptist pointing out to Jesus, and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." What a wonderful description of Jesus, our Savior. And brothers and sisters, I want you this morning to behold the Lamb of God. That's Jesus, who takes away the sin of the world. And that's just a small introduction. And then we have this wonderful verse in John chapter 3 verse 16. This is what people call the mini Bible. Some people say, "Oh brother, the Bible is so big, 66 books. Shall I condense the Bible in one verse?" John 3:16. "For God so loved," don't just say the world, put your name there, "so loved me and you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." This is the gospel of love. Jesus came to proclaim that we have a Father who loves us so much that he was willing to give his only Son to die for us. Oh, I praise the Lord for the gospel, and oh, may the Lord help us be so gripped by the gospel that the gospel will never become stale or dull or boring for us. And I must say, gospel has become more and more glorious for me in my own eyes. Oh, brothers and sisters, let John 3:16 sink into our hearts. God, the Father, loved me. And that's enough to change our lives. What a gospel, brothers and sisters. Okay, then we move on to Mark chapter 1, verse 15. You know, we read in chapter 1 verse 14. It says, "Now after John had been taken to custody, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of God." See what Jesus preached, and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." I like this verse. And this is Jesus' own words, totally undiluted. "Repent and believe in the gospel. And you may ask, brother, what is there to repent? We have to see in Luke chapter 5, verse 32. Jesus said, I did not come to call the righteous. Yeah, Luke chapter 5, verse 32. Jesus said, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And, you know, we looked at 1 Timothy 1:11. I want to just come back to that for a minute. And, yeah. You know, what is the, I was telling you this morning about this glorious gospel in 1 Timothy chapter 1:11. And if you come down, see, Apostle Paul explains what is this glorious gospel. He says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, verse 12, who strengthened me because He considered me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Though I was formerly a blasphemer, persecutor, violent aggressor. Okay. And then it says here, verse 15, it is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. You know, there are many good people who don't find salvation. Because they think, I come from a good family. My father was a priest. And we never did anything wrong. There are so many people who say like that. But the Bible says Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners. And I must say this morning, unless we acknowledge that I am a sinner, we cannot experience the gospel. We cannot find salvation. And that's why I must say it's a wonderful gospel. It's a simple gospel. It's not complicated. If you acknowledge that I am a sinner, doomed for hell. But the gospel is, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And the gospel is, God sent His Son to save a sinner like me. And when I acknowledge my sin, and repent, and turn away from sin, and confess my sins to Christ, and put my faith in Christ, you know, something happens. A miracle happens. The Lord declares you righteous. He wipes away all your past sins. And He takes away the guilt of the past. And you get a connection with Christ Jesus. You become a child of God. And your name is written in the book of life. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, it's not academic. It's not intellectual. Something happens in the heart. And like we sing the song, He touched me. You know, one day the Lord touched you and changed your life. And you know that you're accepted by the Lord. Your sins are forgiven. And your burdens are rolled away. And you know that you've got a connection with the Lord Himself. That you're a child of God. And I believe that's what it means to be born again. And I never want to underestimate the power of salvation. You know, that's why Apostle Paul said in Romans 1:16. This gospel is the power of God and of salvation. I like that expression. Romans 1:16. It says here, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first and also to the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. In other words, when you repent and when you believe, God declares you're righteous. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, something happens. And a whole past gets wiped out. And oh, how wonderful to come to know Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. To come to know Jesus as one who loved you and took your sins and your punishment. And that's how we come into relationship. I look at different people. They come to the church, they read the Bible. But somehow I feel they don't seem to have that connection with the Lord. I ask them many questions and sometimes many people get offended with me because I ask them, I'm sorry to tell you, I'm going to continue to keep asking until you're sure I'm saved. That I know the Lord. The Lord's accepted me. And that's what Apostle it says in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. You know, something happens when you repent and when you believe. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. And Peter told them, therefore repent and return, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. You know, when you repent, the Lord refreshes you, brothers and sisters. When you repent and believe, not only you're born again, not only your sins are forgiven, not only get an assured child of God, you're refreshed. And that's why a person who's genuinely born again, you can see in his face, his or her face, there's a clarity. And oh, I like to see more and more people born again, and more people come into that experience of salvation, and to know that the names are written in the book of life. For example, Jesus said, there's joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. And I believe next Sunday there's going to be tremendous joy in heaven, because we see many people who really repented from their sins. I'm always impressed by the sincerity of many people who come here to get baptized. Yeah, here and there, thankfully very less, maybe one or two fake ones, but most of them I see, they're all sincere. And that brings joy to my heart, and oh, maybe bring joy to heaven. Okay. And we want to move on. And this gospel is also described in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. I like that verse. He says, in him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In other words, gospel gives you freedom. Salvation means freedom. Freedom from the guilt of the past. Freedom from the burden of sin. Freedom from guilty conscience. And freedom from the spirit of the world. And freedom from the power of Satan. Praise the Lord for gospel. And again in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4. Look at the way Apostle Paul described the gospel. One more thing the gospel does for us. Chapter 4 verse 4. In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they may not see the light of the gospel. You know, brothers and sisters, the gospel brings light to your life. You can be saved from all darkness. When you repent from sin, you repent, turn from all darkness. There's nothing hidden in your life. And then in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 15, it's also called the gospel of peace. You know, when you repent and turn from sin, you're restored to God. You're reconciled with God. And there's peace with God. And also peace with men. In other words, you go and ask forgiveness to those whom you hurt, whom you've spoken roughly. And you make restitution. And you make peace. Peace with God and peace with men. And then the gospel does one more thing for us. Colossians chapter 1 verse 23. If indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you heard. You know what the gospel gives you? Gospel gives you hope. Hope for the lost. Hope for the worst. Hope for the hopeless. Oh, I praise the Lord for the gospel. Jesus has come to give hope for the worst. Like it says in Ephesians, Hebrews chapter 7. He's able to save us to the uttermost, like someone said, from the guttermost to the uttermost. So, this is just the preliminary aspect of the gospel, which itself is wonderful and glorious. And that is just a start. Okay, then I want to move on to the second aspect of the gospel. We read in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus used some wonderful expressions. You see there, Jesus was going through all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus didn't just say, I'm come to give you forgiveness of sins. It's called the gospel of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And the kingdom of God means that Jesus, He will be your King and Lord and Savior, that He will control your life. And then when Jesus becomes your King, you know something happens? Satan's got to be dethroned. Satan loses his power over your life. Oh, I praise the Lord for the power of the gospel. You know, when Jesus controls your life, you're under the authority of Christ. And when I'm under the authority of Christ, Satan cannot touch you and me. How wonderful, brothers and sisters. You don't have to live in fear of the devil. When you come under the authority of Christ, oh, I praise the Lord for the kingdom of God. And that's what Jesus has come to give us. Yeah, I want to move on to the third aspect of the gospel. And we read about in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Here Apostle Paul says, I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus. Here says to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. See how Apostle Paul was gripped by the gospel. He was so gripped that Jesus loved him. And you know, God's power changed Apostle Paul. And the gospel not only deals with all our past sins, and also the gospel also deals with our future. In future, we don't need to be slaves of sin. God wants to give us grace upon grace, an abundance of grace. And you can receive more and more and more grace after you're reconciled with God, so that sin's power is destroyed in your life. What a wonderful gospel, brothers and sisters. Really, eyes need to be opened. It's not a burden. The gospel doesn't make you heavy. Oh, the Lord wants to give us grace. All can come and receive grace now. Abundance. And Apostle Paul, you know, from the day he got saved, wherever he went, he kept on testifying about Jesus, his love and his grace. You know, even to the end of his life, he testified before Felix and Agrippa, Festus. Oh, how boldly testified what God can do in a human being. How he can change their lives. What the grace of God can do in our lives. And that's what we should proclaim. The gospel. Testify about the gospel of the grace of God. And I want to move on to the next aspect of the gospel. We read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. Some of these verses, we've looked at it before. It says, it was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of Jesus Christ. Many people think, yeah, I repent of my sins, and my name is written in the book of life, and then I'm on my way to heaven. I want to say, that's a very poor gospel. No, the gospel is that you can gain the glory of Christ Jesus. In other words, you can become more and more humble like Him, more and more loving like Him, more and more faithful like Him, more and more obedient like Him. Have you met brothers and sisters who want to gain the glory of Christ? I want to ask you this morning, brothers and sisters, what is your aim in life? What is your goal in life? Somehow to reach the gates of heaven, is it? Or you say, Lord, one life on earth you've given me. I want your glory as much as possible. I haven't met many brothers like that and sisters like that. Oh, may the Lord raise up many brothers amongst us who can say, I'm living on this earth not only to proclaim the gospel that Jesus is Savior, that we want to gain the glory of Christ. And for that, brethren, we need to pursue after it. Make that our goal and aim and passion. Is not going to come automatically, I'll tell you that. You have to gain. You see, all the businessmen, they make a gain, they make a profit. And I was telling someone, he said his father wanted to join him in business. I said, think about it, man. When you go into business, you can't go to park, you can't go here and there visiting your friend. You got to give yourself to business. And I want to tell you, if you want to gain the glory of Christ, you got to be wholehearted. You got to be a disciple and say, Lord, I want your glory. That's my passion. I praise the Lord for the gospel. And the gospel does something more for us. In Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel. What a wonderful thing the gospel can do for us. You know, I meet so many brothers and sisters, so many believers. I ask them, brothers, how are you? Yeah, they're dragging along. They're heavy. They're not steady. And like the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Finally, brethren, be steadfast, immovable. Are you so shaky, brothers and sisters? You say, oh brother, it's all up and down. The gospel is meant to establish you like a tree, like a rock, like a concrete pillar. Can you say that? The Lord has worked in you through the Holy Spirit, through His Word, and today, from the day you got saved, you have become so strong and steady, established in the truth. And if you're not established, ask the Lord, why Lord, I'm so shaky. When small things shakes me, work in me, Lord, change my life. Establish me so that you can testify. The Lord will not only save me from my past, He has established me the faith. And I believe that will give the Lord much more honor and glory. Okay, we want to move on to the another aspect of the gospel. Colossians chapter 1. I want to read it from the Living Bible. It says here, Colossians chapter 1 verse 5. Because the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you just as in all the world also, it constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you since the day you heard of it, and as to the grace of God in truth. You know, the gospel will enable you to bring forth fruit. You will not be barren. I'll read it from the Living Bible. It says here, the same good news that came to you is going out all over the world and changing lives everywhere, just as it changed yours. That very first day you heard it and understood about God's great kindness to sinners. And I mean, that's what we must testify. Gospel has changed my life. You know, you won't testify to your friends. Something happens. They'll never forget what you shared. Oh, may the Lord help us, brothers and sisters. You should be able to say, the gospel has made me fruitful. I'm a fruitful believer, fruitful brother and sister in the church. Not just one who's mediocre and just dragging along. We should all be able to say, Lord, I want the blessing of this gospel. And then I want to show you one more wonderful verse. Romans chapter 15, verse 29. Maybe we should read it slowly. In the NASB, it doesn't come out clearly. But in the King James Version, it comes out clearly. It says, I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. What a fantastic man Apostle Paul was. He allowed God to work in him so much that he came to a fullness of the blessing of God, of the gospel. And wherever he went, he passed on the blessing. This really challenges my heart. One life on earth, Apostle Paul gave himself to the Lord. And he could tell the Romans, I'm going to come to you, brothers and sisters. What confidence he had. There was no pride there. Will you be able to tell that? Suppose you go to your religious house. Can you say, I'm going to come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel, I'm going to bless you. I believe we can go in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel, bless our friends, bless our neighbors, bless our relatives. I knew a woman, sister. She'll go and witness to the vegetable vendors and tailors and whoever she meets. You don't need to be a gifted speaker for that, to testify of the grace of God. And maybe say, Lord, give me the fullness of the blessing of the gospel. I don't want just a wee bit. Fullness of the blessing of the gospel. Wherever you go, you're a blessing. I hope this morning you got a hunger and thirst in your heart Say, Lord, I want this. I want this gospel. I want the fullness of the blessing of the gospel. I'm not going to leave you until you bless me so much that wherever I go, that I can share the gospel. And then one more verse in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. You know, if you really understand the gospel, and the gospel is, by the way, before I come to that, we can read in 1 Peter 1, 4:17. The gospel is not only to be believed, the gospel is to be obeyed. Chapter 1 Peter 4, verse 17. It says, for it's time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? You know, one day God is going to judge all those who do not obey the gospel of God. The gospel is to be obeyed. Repent and believe the gospel. And obey what Jesus taught us. And that's the gospel. And coming back to Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. A lovely exhortation for all of us this morning. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Have you heard that verse? Hello? Like you say, in army attention. Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Don't just say, oh brother, my name is in the telephone list. So what? Are you conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ? In the office, at home, and amongst friends and relatives, and in the church. What a responsibility we have. Once you have accepted this gospel, you cannot behave as you like. You cannot live as you like. You become a responsible brother and sister in the church, even if you're not an elder. Okay. And, you know, this gospel all of us can share with others. You know how we have to share the gospel? 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 12. I love this verse. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you in those things which never been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Brothers and sisters, we need to be so baptized with the Holy Spirit that whenever you share the gospel, you preach the gospel of the Holy Ghost sent from heaven. People can see that this brother and sister is anointed. And Apostle Paul, look at his example. Romans chapter 1 verse 15. Verse 14 maybe. He says, I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. I hope this morning all of us can say, I am under obligation to preach the gospel to my fellow Indians in India. And verse 16, 15 he says, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also over in Rome. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you eager? I see people eager to get married. I see people eager to go abroad. I see people eager to make a profit. Are you eager to preach the gospel? Oh, may the Lord give us such an eagerness. And then, verse 16. And Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it changed my life. It's the power of God for salvation. One more question. Are you ashamed of the gospel? Why is it you are silent to your friends and neighbors? Are you stuck to preach the gospel? Or is there a flow that you are waiting, ready? You know, I don't believe in thrusting the gospel at anyone, but I believe you must be ready. Like the Bible says, be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you of the reason of the hope that's in you with meekness. And that's what I do all the time. I'm always ready. And when I get a chance, I grab it. I take the chance to share the gospel. And oh, brothers and sisters, may the Lord make us eager to share the gospel. And then in Mark chapter 16, you know, Jesus said in 15, Mark chapter 16 verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to, says in other translation, every creature. What a challenge. Is that your priority? You say, oh brother, I'm not an elder, I'm not a speaker, I'm not a preacher. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every Christian. That's what gripped William Carey. He was not a big man, he was only a cobbler. But he put a map of the world. And he said, Jesus said, go into all the world. And he came to India. And how much the Lord blessed his efforts. One man with a burden to obey God's word, even though many discouraged him from going to India. And in Mark chapter 13 verse 10, Jesus was speaking about the last days. And then Jesus said, the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. Did you understand our priority? The gospel must first be published. Oh, may the Lord help us to understand our priority, to come to experience the fullness of the blessing of the gospel, to understand our responsibility. I'm here on this earth. You say, oh brother, I'm not called. You don't have to be called, brother, sister. Like one brother said, I was not called, but I volunteered. And to obey this verse, you don't need to be called. You don't need to have a special gift, special calling. If you understand to obey what Jesus said, and Apostle Paul, you know, he was so taken up with the gospel, he said, I want to give this gospel free of charge. He never wanted to take any money from anybody. Wherever he went, he served them freely and proclaimed the gospel. And that's our testimony, brothers and sisters, that people should know that when we preach the gospel, we don't want their money. We're not preaching the gospel for any material benefit from anyone. We should be able to say, Jesus said, he gave us freely the gospel. And that we go around giving the gospel freely, blessing others. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, I've sent you. And I must say, God sent us to this earth. Maybe some of us need to change our priorities. And that's why there's confusion in life. You're wondering, why on earth I'm living? The gospel must first be published. Jesus said, go and preach. I'm not saying you should leave your job and go to Rajasthan. That's not the purpose of what I'm saying. But wherever you are, you share the gospel gladly, joyfully. Tell about Jesus, what the Lord has done for you, and what the Lord can do for us. And I was telling you about the hope of the gospel. The hope of the gospel is not only that all our past sins can be settled. We have a glorious future here on earth and after death. What a gospel, brothers and sisters. That Jesus is going to come again. And he's going to take with him all those who are redeemed, all the wholehearted who have been faithful to him. And we're going to reign with him forever and ever. That's also part of the gospel. And oh, may the Lord make us, like Paul said, ministers of the gospel. I like that expression. What a wonderful expression Paul used. And I hope this morning you'll also be able to say, I'm not ashamed, I'm eager. And may the Lord really stir our hearts to be gripped by the gospel, for the gospel becomes glorious in our eyes. And can you make the gospel glorious for others too? It's still more wonderful. Maybe this morning, till now, you didn't get a glimpse of the glory of the gospel. And I pray that there will be many young people who are gripped by the gospel and will give themselves to the gospel and live for the gospel and die for the gospel and honor the Lord, live for the Lord. And so I hope some of our priorities will be changed and the gospel may Let the gospel change our lives, transform our lives, and live, conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. Shall we close eyes and pray? Lord, we want to thank you for your word. We want to, Lord, worship you for this wonderful gospel you gave us, Lord. Help us to esteem it. Help us to value it. And help us to experience the fullness of the blessing of the gospel. Help us to live in a responsible way, Lord. Give us grace, Lord. We want to praise you for your love and your grace and your blessing, Lord. Oh, make us a powerful church, Lord, that we can reach out to many in this nation, Lord. Help us to count for you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Who is the first person who preached the gospel? Can any young people tell? The first person who preached the gospel to mankind? Yes, that's what I wanted to. Yeah, you can turn to Luke 2, verse 10. It says, when Jesus was born, the angels from heaven came down. And they said to them, to the shepherds who were watching their flock at night in the field, they said, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news. Good news is the gospel. I bring you good news. Of great joy, which shall be for all people, irrespective of the religion and creed and all that. For everybody, the gospel was brought down from heaven the day when Jesus was born. And then it continues, then that was given to mankind to preach the gospel and to make disciples. Even when Jesus ascended to heaven, he commissioned his disciples. He said, go and preach the gospel to all creatures and all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them. This is what is not mentioned in many denominations and churches. Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. And then he says, lo, I am with you always. And you know, when Jesus was anointed, he was baptized and anointed by the Holy Spirit in Luke 4, verse 1, we read, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. He was filled with the Holy Spirit and then he was sent to the wilderness to be tested. And then you read in verse 14, after the testings and trials, he comes back. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. See, being filled with the Holy Spirit is one thing, and coming back in the power of the Holy Spirit to do what has been commissioned for you to do. Then you see the following verses in verse 18. Jesus comes to Galilee and then to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. And as was his custom, he entered the synagogue and there he speaks. This is his first sermon, as it were. He speaks from Isaiah 61. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me with the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel to the poor. Jesus said, blessed are the poor. And he doesn't necessarily mean the financially poor. There are so many people financially poor, but they are not responding to the gospel. This is not what Jesus meant. Jesus meant poor means poor in spirit. The poor in spirit are those who know that they are inwardly, spiritually, they are bankrupt. That they cannot do it on their own. That they are lost without hope. And if someone doesn't come and help them, like a savior, then they are lost forever. That is poverty of spirit. That I cannot do this. I cannot, you know, obey these things without the power of the Holy Spirit. And to such he says, I have come to preach the gospel, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind and so on. And the first gospel was preached by the angel, and also the last gospel will be preached by the angel, that we will see it in conclusion. And Paul, you know, when he was writing to the Corinthians and to Galatians, he speaks of another Jesus and another gospel. You can read that in Galatians. Galatians 1. 8. It says that even though we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, and I say it again, he says a second time the same thing. If any man preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you have received, let him be accursed. Let him be cursed, he says. Any gospel other than what I have preached. See, today we have people and preachers preaching another gospel that says you can sin and get away with it. And the Bible says once you are forgiven, you can be delivered from all sin and power of the evil one. He can be crushed under your feet. And they say you can be forgiven and then you can continue along, you can continue to sin. The more the sin abounds, the more the grace abounds. That is a false gospel. We read about the gospel, the clear gospel in Titus 2:11. It says, the gospel of God has, the grace of God has appeared to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and every lawless deed, and to live a life in soberliness and in the fear of God. This is what the true grace of God does. It doesn't give you a sanction or permission to continue in sin. So this is the gospel actually. You see, the gospel and grace and the Holy Spirit, they are always interconnected. The many verses that Brother Newton read today, you see in most of these verses, the grace is there, the gospel is there, and the Holy Spirit is there. They are all interconnected. And grace necessarily means its power. Jesus said, when he was ascending to heaven, he said, wait till you are clothed with power from on high. And the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive not gift of tongues, not gift of healings, but you shall receive power. That is power to overcome the evil one, to really conquer over all your lusts. You shall receive power. That is, you shall receive grace, in other words. Jesus also said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you. Means, my power is made perfect in your weakness. That is, my grace is made perfect in your weakness. So, grace is the gospel. Or, the gospel is the gospel of grace. So, we also read about another gospel in 2 Corinthians 11. You see, Paul had a very strong burden in his heart towards the Corinthians. He says, in verse 3, he says, I am afraid lest, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you received a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully. See, he speaks about a different Jesus, a different spirit, and a different gospel. So many Christians are being deceived today because they don't read God's word properly, and they don't go to proper men of God to listen to the true, genuine and hygienic preaching of God's word. They keep listening to all sorts of people and attend all sorts of meeting. Wherever there is a gospel meeting, they go only gospel meeting, gospel meeting, gospel meeting. There's no growth in them. They keep on listening, like Isaiah says, they keep on listening, and they will never be able to hear. And they will never be able to make progress, like Paul says to Timothy. They will always be learning and never be able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So these are the people who always run here and run there, but they will never get established. Every wind of doctrine blows them this way or that way. They are not stable. They are inconsistent. So he says, if somebody comes and preaches you another gospel, another Jesus, and another spirit, you will receive it. Somebody comes and tells you, lays their hands on you and says, receive the fire. Or they just say fire and people fall down. What fire is that? Did Jesus do that? Did the apostles do that? Did people fall when they preached and when they laid their hands on the people? Did they ride on the floor and bark like dogs and donkeys and things like that? What do you see today? And they say this is something, you know, last day revival and things like that. This is not last day revival, these are last day deceptions. Paul warned Timothy, in the last days there will be diverse evil spirits that draw away people from the true faith. And you listen to all sorts of things and you will get confused. And you will be neither here nor there. Please be established in the truth that is spoken by godly men whom you see, whom you can touch and handle, and whose life you have observed over the decades. Consider the end of their life and the beginning also, how they started and how they have lived all these decades and how they end. And we have in history also truly godly men and their lives. Listen to them, read their articles and get established. Don't get blown away here and there. And Jesus said, Jesus forgave sins. When that adulterous woman in John 8 came and everybody went away because they were convicted, Jesus said, any man who doesn't have sin, let him be the first one to cast the stone. And there was not one left, and they all left and went away, and Jesus only was there. And Jesus asked her, did nobody condemn you? She said, no, Lord. And Jesus said, neither will I condemn you. And many people stopped there. But Jesus said, neither will I condemn you. Go and sin no more. That was the gospel of grace, you can say. Yes, I forgive you initially. That is also grace, mercy. That is mercy. And grace is go and sin no more. Lord, how will I go and sin no more? What will keep me from sinning? It's grace. My grace is sufficient for you. When you receive grace, you receive power, you shall be witnesses. You will get strength, boldness and grace to live this life free from sin. And Jesus also said to that man in the pool of Bethesda, where he was waiting for 38 years, he was sick, and he could have, you know, been healed if he wanted to, if he had made a little effort on his part. 38 years he was lying there at the pool, waiting for somebody to lift him up and put him in the pool. That pool was supposed to have been, you know, stirred once in a while by an angel, and whoever fell in that or went first in that was healed or received the healing. But this man, if he could only crawl for 38 years, a little bit, one step a day, into 38 years, into 365 days, probably he would have been there at the very edge of the water. But he didn't do that. He was just lying there. I don't know what was his problem. But when Jesus came and healed him, Jesus told him one thing. See, now that you are healed, that you read this in John 5, verse 14. Now that you are healed, see that you sin no more, lest something worse come upon you. See, it is not just the forgiveness of sin that we received from the Lord. It's after once we have received the forgiveness of the Lord, live in such a way that you are worthy of the gospel of grace that we heard from Philippians. Live in such a way that, not in your own power, we know we are weak and we cannot do it ourselves. Jesus gives us grace and he gives us the strength and the power to live a godly life. And he says, go and sin no more. If you are at any time in need, you are not able to make it, call unto me, call upon me, and I am there. I will help you. Jeremiah 33:3 it says, call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know about. Yeah, this is the gospel. It's not just forgiveness of sins. Jesus said, once you believe the gospel, you receive the forgiveness of sins. Then afterwards, be baptized. This is the second step I'm taking. And those of you who are being baptized next week, I want to tell you something. This is the second step you are taking, next only after making the decision to follow Jesus Christ. Second most important decision that you are taking in your life. And this is like some people say, I have come all the way to take baptism. Brother, this is not all the way. This is just the beginning. You are right at the starting line. Let it be very clear in your mind. You have believed the gospel and then the next step you are taking is the baptism. That is the second step you are taking, that you are enrolling yourself in the school of discipleship. And you are just starting your Christian journey. Don't think that you come to the end of it. This is just the beginning. And then starts the process of sanctification, which is a progressive sanctification till we die. So this is the gospel. And finally, the wise man, the King Solomon, he said, after having enjoyed everything that this world could offer to him, he says in Ecclesiastes 12, his last words, almost his last words, Ecclesiastes 12, last two verses, 13 and 14. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is this: fear God and keep His commandments. Because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. This is the conclusion of King Solomon. Fear God and keep His commandment, because God will bring every act to judgment and everything which is hidden, whether good or bad. And one last verse, as I told you, the last person who will preach the gospel to mankind, the first one was angel and last one also will be the angel, that you read in Revelation 14, verse 6. It says here, and I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven. I think probably this is after the church has been raptured, after all the believers have been raptured. Probably there's nobody to preach the gospel. And this is the time when an angel is preaching the gospel, it says. An angel flying in mid-heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth and to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. What's the gospel? Next verse. And he said with a loud voice, fear God and give Him glory, because the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth and sea and springs of water. This is the eternal gospel that the angel at last says to mankind, fear God and keep His commandments. May the Lord help us.